I hope you have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 4 that was just read moments ago. Last week we stated that we're going to go through some of the parables, not all of them, but I kind of used last week the purpose of parables, and if you weren't here and would like to catch up, it would be worth your while to listen, because we found out that parables really serve two purposes. Number one, parables that Jesus spoke were to conceal. It's hard for us to believe that Jesus was trying to prevent people from understanding. But actually what he was doing, he was weeding out people who were not sincere in heart. And he would weed those out. Only his disciples had it revealed what the purpose, what the meaning of the parables were. You see, it was his disciples that would come to him and they would ask him, what does it mean? Here in Mark chapter 4, look real quick at verse 33. It says, with many such parables he was speaking the word to them so far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. Everything was explained privately. You see, the rest of them didn't get it because God didn't want them to get it. You know, it teaches us, church, you gotta have a sincere heart. If you don't have a sincere heart, we're talking a real God. We're talking a God that created this world, a God that keeps everything in order, and He is going to have the last say in all of our lives. And there needs to be a sincerity in us about all of this. The disciples had it revealed. The rest had it concealed. And so what Jesus would do, he would come along and he would lay out a statement or a teaching that something was common to man. And then those that were able to have it revealed to them, the disciples, he would put the teaching of the spiritual things of God. You know, it kind of goes along with saying, Jesus' teaching there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You got to have some hunger. You got to have some thirst. You got to have some want if you're going to get these things. A parable, the word parable means to lay one thing beside another. And as I said a moment ago, he would take a simple teaching of something that's common to man and he would put it out there, and then he would lay beside it a teaching from God. And he was hoping that people had a heart that wanted to know so he could begin to explain further things. This morning, here in Mark 4, 26 through 29, it's the parable of the seed. What's amazing about this parable, Mark is the only writer that puts this parable in Scripture. None of the other writers mention this one. And that's why I wanted to deal with it this morning. This is a kingdom parable. Now, a lot of times we don't understand a lot what the kingdom of God is about. But when we talk about a kingdom, the term kingdom means rule or reign. The kingdom of God, the rule, the reign of God. Jesus was ushering in the reign of God because he was going to be the king of God's kingdom. He would be the one to rule and everything. What you have to realize, the Jews from the Old Testament scriptures, they thought that the Messiah, the Christ that was coming, he was going to usher in God's kingdom, but God's kingdom was going to be a literal earthly kingdom someone was going to sit on the throne of David. They were going to bring power and might back to Israel. They were going to dominate again the Romans, who at this time of the writing dominated the Jews. And they thought this Messiah was going to give back that reign, and they were going to be this great kingdom on earth again. And to them, Jesus was a pretty shameful Messiah because he didn't regain the strength over the Romans who ruled the earth at that time. And so that was their idea of the kingdom. Well, Jesus is going to let his disciples know, here's what the kingdom means. Here's what it is all about. Look at verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. The rule and reign of God, the kingdom of God. If you want to get a spiritual understanding, what is God's kingdom about? Well, it's like a man casting seed on the soil. Well, that's a... okay, what's that? Now, we know from Scripture, we know Luke 8 says that. Earlier in Mark 4, when Jesus taught the parable of the sower, he tells us that the seed the sower was using is God's Word. We have that much. And so as he begins to talk about the kingdom of God, what it's like this man, he's casting this seed out there upon the soil. And so, you know, what's the seed about? Well, we know, again, it's the Word of God. You ever bought a package of seeds? Or maybe you buy big bags of seeds. You know what the manufacturers do? They have stamps on those seeds. They are certified and guaranteed by that manufacturer. Well, you know what? This seed is certified by God. And he said, let me tell you what God's kingdom is about. It's like that fellow who's casting out seed. Look at verse 27. And he goes to bed at night, gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know. There's the key. The man who casts a seed, he goes to bed, he gets up each day, and all of a sudden the seed sprouts and grows. And you know what the man doesn't know? How does it work? That's the key to this parable. 27 is the key. How does it work? You know, you take a farmer. When a farmer plants seeds, farmer doesn't know how all of that works together. Ask a farmer. He doesn't know how. He knows it works. He knows seed and soil together. Something's going to happen there. But how it happens? You want to know what the kingdom of God's like? It's just like that. How do things happen? Well, man doesn't know. But man's fixing to get a little bit of insight. Look at verse 28. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. The soil produces the crops. The seed in the soil produces crops. I don't know how that works, but you know what? God has so placed life within that seed, and that seed is itself generating. Man has no part in any of this. You start watching the fields, and we're not long from it. Watch the fields and watch the little blades come up first. Then later what comes? The heads of whatever is planted. And then the next thing, the mature crop is all there. Everything grows. It grows with gradual and it grows with order. And man does not know how it happens. Because you see, man doesn't have any part of it. It's God's order. It's God's what put everything in place. You want to know what God's kingdom is about? That's what it's about. Man doesn't know, but God does. And so God puts everything there. It's all up to God. We're very close to coming on spring. In a few short weeks, you know what we're going to see? Flowers appear on these trees. You're going to see leaves appear on these trees. And how many of us are involved in any of it? We call it springtime. It's God's time. There's not a one of us in here that are involved in what happens when things come to life from a seed, when things relive themselves again in the spring. You're not involved in it. I'm not involved in it. And so he says in verse 29, but when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. When the crop permits, the crops are what tells the farmer, it's your time now. The farmer doesn't tell the crops. The crops tell the farmer. You want to know what the kingdom of God is like? Kingdom of God is where God does all of the work. It's up to God. It's not up to man. God does all the giving of life. God does all of the growing. And I'll tell you, from the time of planting to harvest, what does the man do? What does man always do? From the planting to harvest, nothing. Every day, the seed is growing. Every day, it puts forth one sprout. Every day, it gets bigger and puts on a head. Every day, it's coming to maturity. And man, a farmer, a gardener, whatever it is, whoever they are, have nothing to do with any of the growth. And that's what the kingdom of God is about. What's the point? Spiritual life and spiritual growth only come from God if He allows it. And you and I have little to say so about it. There's only one thing we have. We have the seed. The rest is going to be up to God to do what He says He's going to do. Let me give you an application of this. Come over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to see the kingdom of God that you and I live in. We're going to see the kingdom of God working. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look at what Peter, and you got to remember, Peter was there this day. Jesus was teaching this parable. Peter understood it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He says, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Did you get the very first part? Since you have, in obedience to the truth, you responded to truth. And it started doing a cleansing inside. But that's not what I want you to see. Look at verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. You've been born again of an imperishable seed. He says it's living, it's enduring, it's the Word of God. Brethren, listen to this. God's Word will produce what God has it to produce within the hearts and souls of people. You know what God did? God had the seed thrown out there. His word was thrown out to you and me. We heard what that word was about, and we responded to that kingdom call. It led you and I to being immersed into Christ Jesus. And now what? Do you think that the seed is going to stop working? If you and I have been born of a seed that's imperishable, that comes from God, and God's doing the work, it's going to do its work within you, within me. A lot of times when you and I, if we can understand when we're baptized into Christ, there's your blade coming up. But we're not mature, are we? There has to be more taking in, more of the bringing in of the seed, and God begins to do His work until there becomes this head coming up and there becomes this maturity. I have watched over the years in the church people who have been in Christ Jesus many years, and they've never matured any. Now, why do you think that? Because the seed is no longer relevant to their life. No, they come in excited about being united with Jesus and their sins forgiven, and they stop. And they never mature. And then as time goes on, they just fade away. They die. God says, this is what this is all about. Look down at chapter 2. Look at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Long for the pure milk. I mean, here you are, like newborn babies. What do? He says we have salvation because he says, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now you've got to keep longing for that purity. You've got to keep longing for that word to work, so the seed that God places there, God will cause to grow and to spring up and bring you to maturity. When you stop longing, there's nothing that God can no longer do within your being. You see, the kingdom of God's like a seed that's being spread. The kingdom of God is like this seed that's being spread out there. Every week, you know what God has me do? Scatter the seed. Throw it out there. And so here we are, we have several hundred people present. And every week God has me throw the seed, and I don't know where it's going to land. But if it'll land on fertile hearts, if it'll land and people will take that in, God is able to make that seed sprout and grow and do its thing. And it's all on God's part. We need to have a longing so that seed can have a response within us. Come back to James chapter 1. Just one book to your left. James chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Let's just stop right there. You know what I'm responsible for doing? You and I and Jesus don't do everything real well sometimes, do we? Sometimes we let a little bit of wickedness spring up. Sometimes we let things that are a little filthy in the eyes of God, we let them crop up. You know what God calls us to do? You need to get this stuff out of your life. You need to get it out of your life because we want to allow God to do the work that God needs to do. And so he says in 21, therefore putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. It takes humility. Receive the word implanted. It was planted at the beginning. Now will you embrace it? And let God begin to do His work. And it will end up saving your soul. You and I need to do that. You and I had it implanted at the first. Sometimes you drift away from that. You don't get rid of the filthiness. You don't get rid of wickedness. You're going to die. But if you'll receive it, it's going to save your soul. And that's what God's working toward. You know, there's this constant order. There's this constant growth that God does in His kingdom to you and to me. And we need to heed that. We need to be people that are sincere about that. We need to be letting that seed, as it's thrown out, affect our minds and our hearts. Because if you'll let it affect you, God will let it grow you. I don't know how it works. The man back there, when Jesus said it, Mark 4, he didn't know how it works. But one thing about it, God knows how it works and God causes it to work. And this is what God's kingdom is like. He'll grow you. He'll grow you. I've seen people grow that I would have never thought were growing. And all of a sudden, one day, they're stepping out and they're doing things. And you say, wow, how did they get there? Because God's growing it in them. God's allowing it to do its work. The power is in God. The power is God working with His seed. It's not within me and you. My part in it is just to make sure I've got the field prepared. And that's cleaning out the filthiness and the wickedness. That's cleaning out the things that are envious and things that can harm. And start longing for some pure milk so you can grow. That's my part. That's all a farmer does. He just prepares the land. He doesn't grow it. He just prepares it. And then he waits. Same way with me and you. We prepare it. And let God grow it. But you have to have some sincerity. You have to have some humility for that to work. Well, come back to 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul makes a real clear statement about the kingdom of God. He makes a clear statement to the brethren at Corinth. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Paul is the one that started the church in a lot of these areas. You know what he did? He was the man that went out casting the seed on the ground. That's all he did. Apollos came behind him, and all Apollos did was make sure it got watered, whatever Paul had thrown out. But you know what was going on behind the scene? He said, God was causing the growth. All growth comes from God. It doesn't come from my intellect. It doesn't come from, you know, years of schooling. It comes from God. Look at verse 7. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. What in the world should the church be about? Preachers? Members? Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Incapable. Preachers are incapable of growing a congregation. It is impossible. It's all up to God. He causes the growth. Let me throw this in the side. If man tries, if we start glorying in the wrong things, then that means that whatever we're building with our growth. That's not the kingdom of God. Man has no say-so. We just have to understand God causes growth. God's the one that makes it happen. I look back on the years here. You know what? All it takes, you've got to keep preaching and teaching the Word. Throwing that seed out there. And it lands on some good hearts. There are a lot of good hearts here. And as it does, God takes that heart. And within that heart, as that blade came up when they came up with Jesus, He starts maturing them. He starts growing them. That's the way it works. And it's not up to any man for that. I remember when we were over at Dix Road, and a lot of you remembered when we were there. I can't tell you the number of articles people brought me about church growth. And articles were saying that when a congregation gets to a place where they've got 90% capacity, that the growing is going to stop because people would stop coming. It's too crowded. And I don't know if you remember when we were over there. And I mean, from the back to the front, it was completely filled. We had seats up and down the aisles. And where there was a place up here in the front, they brought chairs here. I mean, it was completely filled. And I kept hearing people say, oh, we're going to stop growing. If it's up to man, who is man in this deal? Who is man in the seed? Why are we using man's efforts and man's ways to say, this is how it works? The farmer said, I don't know how it works. All I did was I planted it out there and I watched the sprig come up. I watched that thing come to a head and I watched that thing mature. I watched God do it all. It wasn't up to man. It's never up to man. It never will be up to man. It will be up to God as you and I have fertile hearts. That we want the Word of God. We want to let the Word of God be what it is and let the Word of God stand and God will grow it. And we need to remember that. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God growing within that kingdom. No wonder Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. He charged Timothy in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the righteous, by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. Preach the seed. Throw the seed out there. Let it find what God intends it to find. And let the people that are pure in heart bring that thing in. And within them, it will grow. It will change them. Because you see, the goal of God is for you and I to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And only God can do it. I've got to be removing things out of my life that would kill it. I've got to keep my heart prepared. I got to keep my heart open. I got to keep my heart humble. I've got to receive the seed from God and let God do His work. And it will happen. Are you a person that you know, you haven't grown as much? All you do is prepare the soil. The power is in the seed. Mixed with the soil. The life is in the seed. Prepare your heart. Prepare your life. You want to grow? God will make it grow. God will grow it. God will grow you if you'll surrender and you give Him the heart, if you'll let this seed fall on fertile hearts. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And if you're part of that kingdom, guess what? You'll grow. Let God in. Let God help. Let God grow. And let the things that we know be planted in the heart. And let's go forward from here.